Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and bring in of Cleveland.com, Mary Kay Cabot. How you doing today, Mary Kay?
I'm doing great, Garrett. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, really well. I would feel a lot better if Jadeveon Clowney went ahead and signed his contract that the Browns are offering him. But we'll see how that's why we got you in the mix to figure out what's going on with that. So you got Jadeveon Clowney. The Browns are obviously interested, offered him what people have said is the most lucrative deal on the table. What are you hearing about that, and where, how far apart are the sides in this conversation?
Well, the way that it's been presented to me so far is that, he is weighing his options. And I don't really believe that he just doesn't want to come to Cleveland. We always hear it's not about the money. It's not about the money. But a lot of times it is about the money. And right now there's no football going on. He doesn't have to sign a contract with anybody by tomorrow. I'm sure he is hoping to get the money he's been looking for. He started out wanting around $20 million a year. Then he lowered that to around $17 to $18 million a year. And I'm sure he wants to get something close to that. I believe at this point the Browns are probably not willing to pay him that much, because if he was getting his asking price, why wouldn't you want to come to Cleveland? Why wouldn't you want to be on the other side of Myles Garrett, who is obviously going to take some attention away from you and really help your production and help you look great? Why wouldn't you want to play with Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry and have it all pulled together this year by a coaching staff that is going to know what to do with all of this talent? So I have a hard time believing that he just is rejecting the Cleveland Browns out of hand. I have to think that it runs a little deeper than that.
You know, Mary Kay, you bring up a really good point. I would have thought that this might have been a situation, if you thought about it, maybe during the 1-31 era where the Browns didn't even have any major talent, and the best player they had on offense was Terrell Pryor playing Wildcat in every other position in the world. But now you fast forward to now, and you look at just the amount of talent in the people they have on this team. Not only do you have a guy who is probably, even though he didn't particularly play as well as he would have liked last year, Baker Mayfield, is one of the lightning rods in faces of the NFL. You look at what they've been able to do. You got Myles Garrett, like you said, you mentioned on the other side. And then plus the narrative of not wanting to be in Cleveland, you have Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham, who both of those individuals, Jarvis came through and said, hey, I'm going to sign a contract as a free agent. And now you have Odell Beckham Jr., who is probably the most popular player in the game playing here. So I don't really quite get the Cleveland situation where he just doesn't want to play in Cleveland, so to speak.
Right. Not only that, these players keep in contact with each other. They reach out, they talk to each other. I'm sure that, that he has either spoken with some Browns players or could easily talk to some of those guys. And you heard what Baker Mayfield said this week. He said, for Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry, it's their time now. They have a sense of urgency. They know they need to get this thing done. So this is not a team in rebuilding mode. This is not a team that has a brand new coach and they're going to be starting from scratch and they have a three-year plan. This team is built to win now and correct the mistakes of 2019 and get back to where they were supposed to be last year. So all he would have to do is talk to a few of these guys to figure out that this is a team poised to do some really good things this year, and I think he would get excited about coming here.
Talking to Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You said it best there. We had the whole conference call with Baker Mayfield. What are some interesting tidbits that came out of that, and what did you take from that? Baker seems to be a guy that's kind of like really reeling it back in. I think one of the things I liked that he said, somebody asked this question, was how did how does COVID-19 and the pandemic kind of really shape your mentality going forward, and has it made you really appreciate football? And he said, no, definitely. I really liked his answer on that. What were some of the things that you really were encouraged or maybe took away from that press conference?
Well, I think the number one thing that I took away from Baker Mayfield's Zoom call that he did with us the other day is the fact that he is buying into what Kevin Stefanski is selling. And I think that's so vitally important. We all can look back to last year and realize that it wasn't a good year for Baker Mayfield in terms of the guidance that he received, in terms of the, I keep saying, he had too many cooks in with kitchens. He had too many people that were in his ear, and they were not all delivering the same message. And therefore, he didn't know which end was up, and it showed in his play on the football field. And by the time he got to the end of the season, he was just so frustrated and slinging it around at times. So I think this year he can look at what Kevin Stefanski has done. He can look at what Alex Van Pelt has done. He can see the system that they run. He can visualize himself in it, and I think he trusts what they're telling him. So when Kevin Stefanski says, hey, let's not speak this into existence this year, let's just go out and do it, I think Baker Mayfield is saying, you know what, I'm going to listen to my coach because he knows what he's talking about. And that is the number one takeaway for me with Baker Mayfield, is that he's going to trust the process, and he's not going to think that he knows more than the coaching staff.
You know, I think another thing that you mentioned earlier is one of the major takeaways I really took away from it was, I don't know if this slipped or if this was purposeful, but you alluded to it early in this conversation. He said it's Jarvis Landry's and OBJ's time. Those guys know we have our time is limited together. And that was really, it was a revelation to me that the Browns are thinking, hey, these guys are two of the top paid receivers in the game. They're reaching 27, 28, 29, 30 years old. We don't know how much we're going to be able to allocate our resources to that position as far as paying those guys that amount of money. And we have a very limited window in getting it done. Do you think that, that everybody on this team is aware that, hey, our time is now, not 3 years from now?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that Baker was being realistic, too, about the fact that this is a pretty pivotal year for him as well. So not only do Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry need to prove that they are worth the mid double digit money that they're million money that they're making, but this is the year that Baker Mayfield needs to show that he's the guy that is going to land that blockbuster second quarterback contract, which is going to be astronomical by the time he gets to that point. I think he recognizes and realizes that it's a crucial, pivotal year for all of them because they have to start allocating resources in certain ways after this year, and they want to be a part of that.
When you look at it as far as the defense is concerned, we talk about Jadeveon Clowney and him being able to bring in, and I kind of talked to John Costco about this, about what Clowney would be able to do. And having Olivier Vernon and Ogunjobi and even Claiborne and some of the backup, it would make their defensive rotation very, very deep. It probably one of the deepest in the league for as far as what they can bring from the edge and different packages. Do you think that move signifies that they're kind of they're not really sure about what their linebackers are going to give them? Because when you look at the linebackers right now, you have Taki, Mack Wilson, and Phillips and B.J. Goodson. Wilson had a good year last year, but in terms of just name recognition and what they've been able to put on film, they've not really had too much to do. Do you think Jadeveon Clowney could be a move to kind of shore up the run defense as well?
Well, absolutely. I do think that's one of the major things that he would bring to the table. And there's a couple of other things at play here. They're willing to spend money on pass rushers, and I think that is borne out by what you see with Olivier Vernon. We all kept thinking, Olivier Vernon, $15.25 million this year again? And, you know, I think the thinking was, no, he's not worth it. Well, they believe that he is worth that kind of money because that's the going rate for a really good, highly ranked pass rusher. And so they're willing to spend their money there. They're not willing to spend their money on linebackers right now. So you're seeing people that we would consider, or in the scouting world, they would consider, you know, just a guy or whatever. But, you know, the other thing there is that they might not be using three linebackers all that much this year. There will be a lot of nickel. There will be a lot of dime. There will be a lot of sub packages and different kinds of fronts. And it just doesn't seem like right now that's where they wanted to spend a lot of their money.
Talking to Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. When you look at it, I've been doing kind of an AFC North, AFC North preview. And this week, last week was the Bengals. This week is the Steelers. You know, one of the things that I talked about kind of a little bit last week was I really think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be a much improved team this year. I mean, they split with the Browns last year. Granted, new coaching staff, new personnel, and some new things. But the Bengals getting Joe Burrow and being able to still have Joe Mixon and A.J. Green coming back. And I think the Bengals are a much improved team. What is your sense on the Bengals and their outlook and where they can, you know, possibly be in this division?
Well, yeah, definitely do not sleep on the Bengals this year. That is for sure. And it all starts with Joe Burrow and, you know, what can he do as a rookie? And if they, you know, if they put him in situations to succeed, like a lot of coaches have been doing with their young quarterbacks coming out of college and giving them things to do that they do really well and that they succeeded in at the college level, you know, then he can make a lot of noise as a rookie. And as you said, the Bengals were already starting to get it together in some areas last year, despite the fact that they had some talent deficiencies and A.J. Green wasn't on the football field. But if you have him, if you have Joe Burrow playing at his peak, if you've got Mixon, then they've got a lot going for them. And, you know, now they've got a really good coaching staff, too, that seems to know what to do with a Joe Burrow. So, yeah, I would think that you cannot discount them at all this year.
Do you when you look at the Steelers and Big Ben coming back, you know, the Steelers, once again, 8-8 last year. They didn't have really great quarterback play last year. Mason Rudolph, Delvin Hodges. It seems like the Steelers always play Steeler football. It's so annoying. But they just continue to keep finding new guys, and they're always going to be a factor in this division. When you look at it, what is your expectation level for the Steelers, and do you think Big Ben comes back, and do you think they'll change the way they play due to his injury?
Well, you know, I mean, we've all watched Big Ben kill the Browns enough over the years that, you know, you can never count him out, and he just always takes it into another gear when he plays the Cleveland Browns. Loves to beat the Browns, feels like he's invincible when he steps on the field against them, and the record is something like 22-2. So, you know, when he comes back, you would have to expect that he's going to be the Hall of Famer that he is. But again, you never really know how someone's going to come off of an elbow surgery like that. I think it'll be really super exciting in the AFC North if he comes back strong. You've got Lamar, you've got Joey Burrow, you've got Baker Mayfield. I mean, what a quarterback lineup that is. And I think that is so exciting for football, so exciting for the AFC North, and Browns fans are going to get to see so much of that in the first half of the season with so many of those AFC North games early on, including two right off the bat. So, you know, I always think the Steelers are strong. I think the world of Mike Tomlin as a football coach, their defense is always, no matter what, you know, they just keep funneling those guys through in there, and they keep coming up big on defense. And so, yeah, I would expect them to be a major force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, this is crazy. I talked to John Costco, and he had the same enthusiasm that you have for the AFC North. And I knew the AFC North was going to be pretty good this year. But, you know, it's shaking up with the, you know, the adding of a playoff team in this system. And, you know, he just came on and said that, you know, he thinks that up to four teams could make the playoffs. He said that's not likely. He said, but he expects three teams to make the playoffs from the AFC North. What are your thoughts on that? And do you think that the AFC North is the best division in football?
Well, you know what? It's going to be right up there for sure because of what we just talked about, the quarterback situation and the Ravens and Lamar. So, yeah, when you look across the board, I don't know if I can say with any certainty yet that it will be the best, but it's going to be right up there. It's going to be a really tough division to win. And unfortunately for the Browns this year, they have more of an opportunity to make the playoffs even if they don't win the division because of the extra wild card. And like you said, really difficult to win the AFC North this year.
Table as far as opening facilities up at First Energy Stadium. And what are some of the plans that the around the league that people are going to try to put into place in terms of COVID-19 and making sure that this thing, you know, people aren't sick, they're getting social distancing, they're spacing things correctly. Do they have any timetable for when they'll start doing team activities, or is that a little bit too early?
Well, Roger Goodell really, really wants to get coaches back in the buildings this week. And there are very few states where, you know, that doesn't seem ready to happen quite yet, with Washington being one of them and the Seattle Seahawks. They're going to have to work hard to see if that can happen, because if coaches can't be in the building in one state, then they can't be in the building in any state. So that's something that's going to have to be worked on very quickly this week if they want to get that done. Roger Goodell also wants to get some players back in the buildings before the end of the offseason program on June 26th. That's going to be tough. They extended the virtual period of the program two more weeks through mid-June. That only gives a window of about June 13th or 14th through June 26th to make that happen. But there's going to be a strong push, a very strong push, to get players back in the building for parts of that two-week period. So who knows? You could see Baker Mayfield and some of the offensive guys or whatever, however they decide to do it, come back into Cleveland and perhaps even get out on the football field a little between June 13th and June 26th if Roger Goodell and the NFL has its way. Now, I will say J.C. Treader is going to make sure, he's the new president of the NFLPA, he's going to make sure no player goes out on the football field until they are safe, and that's as it should be. So they're going to have a lot of assurances that this is going to go well for the players and for their families, and it's a lot to work through in a very short period of time.
Mary Kay, I thank you so much for joining us and coming on with us and spending some time with us on a Saturday morning. Definitely appreciate you, and thank you again.
Sure, thanks for having me.
All right, no doubt. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com. Browns beat reporter, and she's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.